From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this special New Year's Eve edition of Washington Watch. Folks, let me be among the first to say Happy New Year. May the Lord bless you abundantly in the year 2020 as you walk with Him. Now, I know we are greeting this new year with great expectation here at the Family Research Council, and a large part of that expectation is because it's where we've been and what we've seen in the year that comes to a close tonight. In just a moment, I'm going to be joined by FRC Executive Vice President Jerry Boykin. You know him as the General. We're excited about a new project we've been working on that launches in earnest here in just a couple of weeks, and that's our Stand Courageous. We'll talk about this new men's ministry and more broadly why we do what we do here at FRC. Then FRC's Vice President for Policy and Government Affairs, Travis Weber, will join us to recap the religious liberty victories of 2019, and there have been a lot. FRC Action Vice President Brent Kylan will give us a preview of the upcoming 2020 elections, big election year right around the corner. And FRC team members David Clawson and Marcus Harris will join us to discuss FRC's new Biblical Worldview series and how they're using it to train up the next generation of leaders. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. And by the way, as we come to the end of the year, one thing that is not over is the battle for America's future. And we've got one more opportunity to partner with FRC before the year ends. And with your help, with your partnership, we can continue to make a difference and gain more ground together in 2020. And if you give before midnight tonight, your gift will be doubled thanks to a generous year-end challenge match. Help us advance faith, family, and freedom for the sake of America's future. Go to TonyPerkins.com, and everything you give will be doubled. All right. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin served for 36 and a half years in the United States Army, including his last four as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence at the Pentagon. He was a founding member of the U.S. Army's Delta Force and commander of the Green Berets. General Boykin retired from the Army and now serves as the Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good. Happy New Year, first of all, and thanks for having me back on.
Well, it's always good to have you on. Let me just start with, before we get into the men's conference, which I know both of us are excited about, mm-hmm. We have one coming up just around the corner, in fact. In my hometown of Baton Rouge, we're going to be at Jefferson Baptist Church January the 11th and 12th. And then at the end of the month, actually, we've got three technically in the month of January. Yep. We're going to be at First Christian in Kernersville, North Carolina, January 24th and 25th. And then Marcus Point Baptist Church in Pensacola, January 31st and February 1st. I'll talk more about that, folks, in a moment. Excuse me. But, General, I want to start with why we do what we do. I mean, mm-hmm. you have a distinguished military career. As I mentioned, 36 and a half years, a founding member of Delta. You commanded the Special Forces. You could have done a lot of things when you left the military. Mm-hmm. Why, other than your wife telling you to come here, why did you come to...
Yeah, and that's another story. But
Why are you... I mean... Yeah. Let our listeners know what motivates you to be here when you could be doing so many other mm-hmm. things. Many of your peers have, you know, serving on boards and, you know, making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But you're making a big difference by being here. Why?
I hope so. That's why I'm here. I do want to make a difference. You know, Tony, I think that we all need to reach a point in life where we realize that it's not about us. It's about our grandchildren. And even if you don't have grandchildren, it's about the future generations, what we do today and how it's going to impact either positively or negatively for them. I have six grandchildren. I am absolutely passionate about what kind of America we're going to leave them. So I not only pray, for God to intervene in the affairs mm-hmm. of man in this country, But I came here 7+ years ago with the intention of trying to make a difference in their future, and that's my raison d'etre. It's my reason for being. It is what I get up every day thinking about, is what can I do today that's going to impact their future? And every man needs to come to that point in his life at some point.
Mm-hmm.
He's thinking about those grandchildren or the next generation and not about himself.
Is it a stretch to say that those 36 and a half years in large part were preparation to mm-hmm. engage in a battle that's mm-hmm. larger than any battle you were mm-hmm. ever involved in? Different kind of battle.
Yeah, listen, I'd take 30 calibers coming at me every day, given the choice, than what we get shot at with around here. You know, we get the enemy that fights against us is a spiritual enemy, and that's mm-hmm. what we need to realize. It's not these groups. They're just manifestations of evil. But it's the spiritual battle that we're in, and that is a tough battle. So my 36 years of preparation was really to toughen me, to harden me, to get me to the point that I am ready to step into battle, because you and I, you know, here in the Family Research Council, we receive a lot of criticism. We receive a lot of lies that are told about us. We are called all kinds of names. We have people stopping us in airports, you know, with some not only positive things, but certainly some criticism. And as a result of that, I think that I came here after 36 years in the military prepared, better prepared for the kind of battles that we're in today than I would have been had I had a different career track prior to coming here.
The battles are spiritual. Oftentimes, it's actually easier to be in the physical battle because you can see the enemy. You know
what
you're up against.
That's right.
In the spiritual battles, they're much different. And of course, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual, as Paul mm-hmm. said. So it's sometimes more difficult because we can't do mm-hmm. it ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's through prayer. It is mm-hmm. through fasting. It's mm-hmm. through God working in the lives of those here and elsewhere, which leads me to the next point is we have seen the demasculizing of America, men being robbed of who they are as men. And I think that there's a real danger in that, not only from the physical standpoint of, you know, who's going to defend America mm-hmm. if we've taken the masculinity mm-hmm. out of men, but from a spiritual standpoint, you see, I think that, you know, we need to be raising up spiritual warriors
mm-hmm.
that will fight mm-hmm. for the next generation, fight for their children. Fight for their wives, as Nehemiah said. Fight for your wives, your husband, your children, your homes, and that's really what is the genesis was the genesis of the Stand Courageous Men's Conference, which we've done a few of them, but we start in earnest just in a couple of weeks. Yeah. Tell our listeners about that.
First of all, we need to understand that there really is an assault on masculinity in America. That there's an effort to degrade masculinity, you know, by attaching it to the word toxic masculinity.
Right.
Now, what's that about? It's about destroying families, because you destroy the family by destroying the man. When you get a man so distracted or so downtrodden that he won't stand up and be the man that God's called him to be, he won't do the things that God's called him to do within the family, you destroy the family.
And that makes the family vulnerable.
Makes the family very vulnerable. And so you and I have a passion for that. You know, we both served in the military. We've seen men. We've seen real men. We've seen what real men are capable of, both good and bad.
Right.
But that said, you know, last year, just about this time last year, you came back from Christmas with a very clear directive to us, and that is we're going to form a men's ministry here. We're not only going to reach out to the pastors' networks. We're going to reach out to the men. We're going to get the men and the everyday men in the churches that we can get to. And we are going to encourage them to be the men that God's called them to be. But we're also going to talk to them straight. We're going to talk to them in a language that they understand. And I don't mean profanity. That's not what I'm saying. But it's not just about scripture. It's not just about, a sermon. This is about practical living as a man of God, as a man of faith. And we talk to them about how to do that. We give them scripture so that they understand that this is not just us thinking. But we also share with them our own experiences. We share with them where we've struggled, where we've had the same issues that they have. And that resonates with them because men are looking for somebody to stand up there and talk to them in a way that really relates to them.
What I am finding is that men, spiritually minded men in the church. Now, there's issues there. But I think men are, A, waiting to be challenged and B, waiting to be affirmed as men. Mm-hmm. That, yes, as a man, you need to stand up, regardless of what the culture says, defend your family, mm-hmm. defend your wife, defend mm-hmm. your children. And that takes, and I'm, you know, immediately our minds go to, well, maybe someone's going to break in the house or maybe somebody. That's not what we're talking about. I mean, that's elementary. What we're talking about, your children, what they're being exposed to mm-hmm. at the school. When was the last time you went down to the school and said, I want to know what my kids are being taught? And if it was objectionable, did you speak up about it? Mm-hmm. Are you letting your wife be the spiritual leader of your home? That's not defending your home. Mm-hmm. If you're not the spiritual leader, you're not providing the spiritual covering. Now, I know that's not politically correct, and that's, that's chauvinistic. No, it's biblical.
That's right. That's exactly right, Tony. And so many men don't understand that there are so many ways that we allow evil into our homes today.
Right.
Whether it's on the television or the computer, or whether it's on a cell phone, an iPhone,
right.
You know, there's so many ways we let evil into our home. You don't want evil in your home.
Right.
You don't want that. And you got to protect your family from that.
And you have to provide the leadership. And sometimes that means you tell your kids no.
Yeah.
And we're exactly so worried right. about being our kids' friend.
That's right.
That we fail to be their father.
That's exactly right.
And they need a father, not a friend.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, men in the home, when a man is in the home and a man is doing what a man is supposed to do, I guarantee you the chances that family is going to see success in the future is about 100%.
Yeah.
When the man is being the
That's
father
right.
God's calling him to be, about 100%. Those kids are going to turn out okay. The marriage is going to be okay. And they're going to prosper spiritually and probably financially because
absolutely.
The man's doing what he's supposed to do.
We see that in the social sciences. General, we're out of time. Again, Happy New Year.
Yeah, thanks.
Looking forward with great anticipation what God is going to do in the year 2020. Yet. And folks, if you'd like to find out more about the Stand Courageous ministry and how you can be a part of it, go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. All of the upcoming events are listed there as well. All right, folks, don't go away because there's more Washington Watch to come right on the other side of the break.
A strong case can now be made that China has become one of the most totalitarian states in human history. The Chinese Communist Party restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale, targeting those of every faith, especially Christians, Muslims, Tibetan Buddhists, and Falun Gong. The Chinese Communist Party's movement against religion has had and continues to have devastating consequences for those who simply wish to live according to their conscience. The Chinese Communist Party's consistent abuses of human rights prove that it cannot be treated just like any other country. The United States must address these human rights and religious freedom violations in their trade and diplomatic dealings with China. For more information about the human rights crisis in China, visit frc.org/China. That's frc.org/China.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and host of Washington Watch. I invite you to join our family and thousands of others across the country in standing on the Word of God as we go into 2020, the global year of the Bible, by joining in a two-year family chronological Bible reading plan. I can assure you that your family will be powerfully impacted by reading God's Word and growing in the understanding of His truth together. The readings take only 15 to 20 minutes a day, with Sundays set aside for a family or small group discussion. To join us, simply go to TonyPerkins.com and click on Stand on the Word with FRC. That's TonyPerkins.com or call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Let's stand together on the Word of God and change the world, beginning in our own home.
In the U.S., the rate of chemical abortions is at an all-time high. This rapid increase is being driven by the abortion industry, which wants abortion pills available through the pharmacy in the mail, making do-it-yourself abortions the future of the abortion industry. Abortion advocates once claimed that legal abortion would prevent back-alley abortions, but now they want to place the burden of inducing abortions completely on women, despite the fact that the health complications that often result from an induced chemical abortion are eerily similar to those of back-alley abortions. They include severe bleeding, infection, retained fetal parts, the need for emergency surgery, and even death. With all the documented dangers of abortion drugs, it is clear that the abortion industry's goals are political, ideological, and financial, not the well-being of women. For more information about the dangers of chemical abortions, visit frc.org/chemicalabortion. That's frc.org/chemicalabortion.
Welcome back to a special New Year's Eve edition of Washington Watch. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. But let me remind you, one of the resources we have at the website, something we're encouraging people to join us in this year, is the launch tomorrow of a two-year Through the Bible reading. It's a chronological reading. We've got it all laid out for you there. Go to the website. You can follow links over. But this is really important, something we're focusing on in getting our supporters, our partners, and the men who are actually coming to our men's conferences to go through and chronologically read through the Bible with their families. It's a part of the spiritual leadership, but it's also powerful in terms of challenging us to live out our faith. And that's our next topic, is that increasingly we're finding it difficult in the culture today to live out our faith. It's being attacked in different places, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's in the marketplace, government, the media. But we're seeing some tremendous victories as we push back to reaffirm and to put a firewall around our First Amendment freedom of religion. Joining me now to talk more about this is Travis Weber. He is the Vice President for Policy and Government Affairs. He is also the Director of the Center for Religious Liberty. And for those who listen frequently, you know he's on the program a lot. Travis, welcome back.
Thank you, Tony.
Let's jump right into this, because I know that religious freedom, when we talk about that, the expression of living out our faith is something that's been under attack, been in the crosshairs of the left for over a decade now, with intensity. But we're seeing some victories under this administration pushing back, as well as individuals taking heart and standing up. Hit some of the high points of what we've seen this year.
Sure, Tony. So when we think about attacks on religious freedom, I think we break them down into several areas. One is the attack on any religious expression in the public squares. We see this in terms of attacks on monuments, public prayer, et cetera. We see this in the schools, too. And then we also, particularly more recently, have seen it in the issue of sexuality, when people want to live out their faith as it concerns sexuality, what the Bible teaches us about that. We're seeing attacks on those people when they stand up in the public square and the law being used against them.
Specifically, you're speaking of those who, for instance, most prominent cases are those in the wedding industry that refuse to participate in same-sex weddings, or more recently, cases of individuals who are refusing
to use the selected pronoun and play along with this make-believe gender fluidity and gender identity issue.
Those are both examples of this trend. And it kind of centers anything where people have beliefs that are a matter of conscience for them, and they're not going to be forced to violate their conscience. So you mentioned several examples. Other examples include those in the public square, public officials like Chief Cochran and others. We've seen this trend develop over years here at FRC. So, you know, getting to your question about victories, it is good to see some of the victories we've seen recently, because this trend has only grown, into something where there's more hostility to religion, and there are forces pushing it. So it's good to see victories in the face of that. I think examples of some of the victories we've seen this year in working with the administration on religious liberty issues include the announcements of a new rule by which Health and Human Services will protect the religious freedom of adoption providers and others as they mm-hmm. dispense grants, the Department of Labor issuing a rule clarifying that contractors shall have their religious liberty protected. These are reversals of previous rules by the Obama administration and other rules that have been in place, which were very bad on this issue. And we've also seen HHS begin a reverse course on a rule which would violate conscience in terms of medical professionals performing gender identity-related surgeries and other issues. And the administration's also finalized their conscience rule. This has all been in the last year. So four good, solid executive actions when it comes to religious liberty. In addition, we've worked hard on the Hill to stop bad religious liberty provisions from coming out of the House, including the Equality Act. Although that passed the House, it has not seen action since then. And we've seen good developments in the courts this last year with the Bladensburg case, standing for allowing a large cross-shaped veterans memorial to stand under the right. Establishment Clause. And this plays into the question of nominees and the good nominees we've seen put forth for the federal judiciary. Who are good on religious liberty.
Right. At the appellate court level now, one out of every four of the just judges has been appointed by this president, confirmed by this Senate.
And, Tony, you know that we have closely monitored nominees that are put forth to make sure that they will defend religious liberty, life, and family when on the bench. And we've played a part in stopping nominees that we've had problems with. So these are all good developments in this last year. But knowing the trends that have led us to this point, we know that the issue is going to be one we continue to face.
Now, Travis, another area that the administration has been really, really good on is the issue of religious freedom internationally. And that is something that the Center for Religious Liberty that you direct has been a part of. Why the focus? Let our listeners know why it's important that we not just limit our focus on religious freedom to our own borders.
Yeah, so the administration's record has been very good internationally on religious freedom. It's important that Christians look at this issue internationally and at home because it all comes back to how our faith informs how we think about the issue, because God does not compel us. We should not compel others. We should seek freedom for them, both around the world and at home. The issues hit closer to home domestically, but it's the same freedom being attacked around the world. That's why we are going to continue to advocate overseas and at home, and we're going to celebrate the administration's good record overseas and continue to push them to protect religious freedom more around the world and at home.
And we have the platform, I say we, the United States, I mean America, Christians in America, we have the freedom to advocate for those that do not have the freedom. And quite frankly, I believe we'll be held accountable for that before God, that what did we do with the resources and the freedoms we had for those who were suffering?
It's well said. We have the ability to act, and so we'll have to answer for failing to act. When many around the world cannot stand up for their freedom right now, they need us to do so on their behalf.
Travis Weber, always good to have you on the program. Let me wish you a happy new year.
Thank you, Tony.
Looking forward to more victories on the religious liberty front in the year 2020, just around the corner. All right, folks, don't go away, because on the other side of the break, we're going to be talking kind of practical politics. FRC Action's Brent Kylan joins us. He's the vice president of FRC Action. He's going to be talking about the 2020 big election year. All of these issues we've been talking about, they hinge, they turn on elections. We're going to talk about it next here on Washington Watch. Be sure, visit the website, tonyperkins.com. Join the match and help us, partner with us, so we can keep Washington Watch going. Don't go away. We're right back after this. What other trips to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible and life-changing 9 days in Israel with me, General Jerry Boykin, and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from June the 2nd through the 12th. We'll stand in the ancient ruins of synagogues where Jesus preached, worship on the Sea of Galilee, walk the streets of Jerusalem, stand on the Mount of Olives, and have communion at the Garden Tomb. You'll meet Israeli leaders who will share about Israel's intelligence and defense systems and brief you on foreign policy. As one of our former travelers said, quote, the worship, spiritual, and geopolitical understanding that FRC contributes to the trip makes it an experience not to be missed. So join us June the 2nd through the 12th for this unique experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Can a Facebook post or a tweet or an Instagram picture change a person's mind? At Family Research Council's 15th annual Pro-LifeCon Digital Action Summit, pro-life activists from around the country will gather to explore the impact that digital media has on the culture's view of human life. Join us via live webcast from Washington, D.C., the morning of Friday, January 24th. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, and activists who will share how they view social media and other digital tools to further the pro-life message. You'll be educated and empowered to better reach your own communities by learning best practices from those who are at the cutting edge of the digital pro-life movement. With this innovative information, anyone can make an impact for the pro-life movement, anytime, anywhere. Tune in Friday, January 24th at 8 a.m. at ProLifeCon.com. Again, visit ProLifeCon.com for more information.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Happy New Year as we come to the close of 2019 and we open the books on 2020. Well, we've been talking a lot about the issue of religious freedom and the gains that have been made. Well, those gains have been made because of the results of elections. Elections have consequences. We've seen it on the courts. We've seen it in the policies. And, of course, this is a big year coming up, 2020. Here to talk about it is the Vice President of FRC Action, Brent Kylan. Brent, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be with you.
As we look it's just right around the corner here. It's like a few hours away. 2020, big election, national elections, presidential election, congressional elections, Senate elections, state legislative elections, a lot happening. Before I get into kind of the specifics of the elections, what we're looking at, what people need to be preparing for, is just quickly explain the difference between FRC Action, which you are the vice president of, and FRC. What's the difference?
So FRC Action, we're the legislative affiliate of Family Research Council, and we are a 501c4 nonprofit, whereas Family Research Council would be a 501c3 nonprofit. And the benefit to us is, long story short, we are able to get more involved in election and candidate support.
Because when you say a 501c4, donations to FRC Action are not tax deductible because they are used to affect elections.
Correct.
And so you're not limited in what you can say and do for the most part. There's still some restrictions. And so you are the legislative arm. You get involved in advocating for certain policies, working on those grassroots issues, but then also directly on election supporting candidates. You also have political action committees that come alongside candidates as well.
That's right. That's right. Actually, in 2018, we hit kind of our high watermark. We endorsed 203 candidates, and 83% of those won, which we were really happy about. So able to really, get directly involved in supporting the good candidates, which is a huge area of need right now.
And let me make sure people understand that when you say supporting good candidates, we don't just support anybody. It's not about someone depending on, that they're in a particular party. It's where they stand on the issues. And we vet each one of these candidates. In fact, each one of these candidates asked for our support We then vet them through the process where mm-hmm. they stand on the issue so that mm-hmm. when people support the PAC associated with FRC Action, they know that that money is going to support a candidate who will not just vote for the values that they care about, but we're looking for leaders, those who will lead and defend and advance those values.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Tony. We need that maybe more now so than ever before in our nation's history. And so we're talking to them, we're meeting them face to face, and we are looking, we're not just taking their answers in the meetings we have, we're looking at their record, their voting record if they have one. And just like you said, we want to know, can they show they've actually stood and will continue to stand on these issues?
Well, a couple of examples. You mentioned 2018 as a kind of a high watermark, 83% victory in the races we got involved in. Two of the higher profile races that we put a lot of resources in, Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri challenging an incumbent. He won. He has been a champion on the issues that we advocate for here at the Family Research Council. Governor Mike DeWine winning the governor's race in Ohio, very close race. Obviously, our work, along with others, but our work clearly made a difference in that race. He's already signed into law the heartbeat bill. Mm-hmm. He's doing other things that advance a pro-life, pro-family platform. So that's the kind of candidates we're talking about, those who will advance our agenda, will stand up to the left, and will push back.
That's right. And many of these are candidates who are what we call our true blue award recipients. These are members federally here who have a 100% record voting for faith, voting for family and freedom. So they were looking at an actual voting record. And I think people, you know, can really be encouraged by that, Tony. We absolutely need more of these good candidates, but there are a number of them that are here that are taking this work really seriously.
Well, let's talk. We just got a couple minutes left, but you're actually doing some projects, initiating some projects to actually find more candidates, equip those candidates to run for office, not just here in Washington, but in school board races, city council races, state legislative races around the country.
That's right. That's right. We are working to connect with people all across the country, help them answer some of those questions. You know, to a lot of people, it's a very intimidating process. They see the need, but they're like, how do I actually do something with this? So we're developing some materials where they can then take those, use those, run for office. And as you said, Tony, federal is very important, but state and local also extremely important. A lot of people don't realize Bernie Sanders launched his political career by winning a local race for mayor by 10 votes. And now he's, look at the platform he has supporting socialism and all of these things. We're looking for good candidates at all these levels that can make that type of a difference.
Boy, we should have worked to get 11 more voters out in that race with Bernie Sanders. Oh, well, Brent, I know we're going to be talking to you a lot in this next year as we move toward the fall's election. So stand by. We're going to be calling you frequently.
Appreciate it, Tony. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a happy new year. All right, folks, we're not done yet. The year's not over, nor are we. We've got another segment coming up. We're going to be talking about biblical worldview, developing it in the future leaders of America. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. Ever hear the term toxic masculinity? Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Masculinity is under attack in our culture. The American Psychological Association released guidelines declaring traditional masculinity ideology as harmful. Brown University, an Ivy League school, offered a course, Unlearning Toxic Masculinity, explaining that rigid definitions of masculinity are toxic to men's health. In a University of Texas class, Masculine UT treated masculinity as if it were a mental health crisis. Thankfully, the culture does not have the last word on true masculinity. God does. Our Stand Courageous Men's conferences offer biblical solutions to the crisis of manhood. We seek to help men develop character, cultivate habits, build relationships, and make commitments that will move them closer to God's design. Check out StandCourageous.com for an event in your area. That's StandCourageous.com.
Do you know of one person who knows absolutely everything? No? Me neither. And so if we don't know everything, we all need to be lectured sometimes. Or at least, we all could benefit from tuning into a lecture now and then. Well, Family Research Council has just the thing. A new weekly podcast called Lecture Me, created to help inform and equip listeners on the biggest issues affecting our culture today. Each episode presents a lecture selected from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast podium features today's top thinkers who take on tough issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. Make sure to stick around after each lecture as we break down the content and discuss these topics further. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and host of Washington Watch. I invite you to join our family and thousands of others across the country in standing on the Word of God as we go into 2020, the global year of the Bible, by joining in a 2-year family chronological Bible reading plan. I can assure you that your family will be powerfully impacted by reading God's Word and growing in the understanding of His truth together. The readings take only 15 to 20 minutes a day, with Sundays set aside for a family or small group discussion. To join us, simply go to TonyPerkins.com and click on Stand on the Word with FRC. That's TonyPerkins.com, or call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Let's stand together on the Word of God and change the world, beginning in our own home. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us on this New Year's Eve. And let me wish you a happy new year, and I pray the Lord will prosper you in 2020 as you walk with Him. And as the year comes to a close, we'll soon open a new chapter in our Stand for Faith, Family, and Freedom here in Washington, D.C. And I want to invite you to join with us and partner with us. That's the only way this program and the work that the Family Research Council does continues. It's not because we get any government funding or any funding from the left. It is funding that comes from folks like you all across America who care deeply about living out their faith in an authentic way. Caring for their families and preserving the freedom. We have a generous donor that has put forward a match, and so anything you contribute between now and midnight will be matched. You can go to TonyPerkins.com and make the contribution online, and it will be matched. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com, and while you're there, be sure and look at the other resources that we have available for you. I want to remind you, as we were talking with General Boykin earlier in the program, our Stand Courageous Men's events get underway in earnest in fact, just 2 weeks. We will be having our first of the new year, Jefferson Baptist Church, in my hometown of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That's January 10th through the 11th. To find out more how you can be a part of that, it's all there on the website, TonyPerkins.com. And then I mentioned we've got one in North Carolina, January the 24th to the 25th, then down in Pensacola, Florida, on the 31st of January. So we'd love to see you there. This is these are great events. Stand courageous. If we're going to turn the country, if we're going to change the culture, men of God need to begin acting like men of God and stand courageous for the truth. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Now, one of the things we've noticed here at the Family Research Council, I've been here going on almost 2 decades. Wow, that sounds like a long time. Is that, there are Christians who want to live out their faith increasingly in this hostile environment. People are wanting to because they know. Jesus said, don't hide your light under a bushel. You know, we cannot hide it. We've got to live it out. But how do you do that? There's not a lot of good resources to train Christians to handle the issues of our day and how to live in a way that speaks truth and mercy. You know, Proverbs chapter 3 says, you know, bind truth and mercy around your neck and inscribe it upon the tablets of your heart. It's not one or the other. It is both. And that's where I think many Christians get off track, is either they gravitate toward the truth and they become unloving and unkind, and the reason we're to speak the truth is out of a redemptive heart, wanting to see people to be set free, because Jesus said that you'll know the truth will make you free. Or you have those that gravitate toward mercy and they just reject truth, and this they love everything and they affirm everything. Well, that's not of God. It's mercy and truth. How do we do that? Well, that's one of the projects we're focused on here at the Family Research Council. And a part of this is also training up the next generation, as we were talking about with General Boykin earlier in the program, about the reason he's here is for his 6 grandkids. Well, at some point, these values that we stand for here have to be passed to the next generation. They're not passed in the bloodstream, as Ronald Reagan once said. But we have to instill them and make these values theirs. And that's also something we're doing here at the Family Research Council. And here to talk about both of those are David Clawson and Marcus Harris. David is the FRC's Director of Christian Ethics and Biblical Worldview, and Marcus is FRC's Director of Student Interns and Policy Lectures. David and Marcus, welcome to this New Year's Eve edition of Washington Watch.
Thanks for having us, Tony.
Yeah, well, and I like the New Year's Eve hat you guys got on there, too, all the party stuff there. That's a joke, folks. They're dressed normally. Let's start with biblical worldview. Why is it now more important than ever to have a solid, solid biblical worldview, David?
Yes, it's more important than ever because just even last year, a new poll came out that said 7% of Americans now have a biblical worldview, which is the lowest percentage since they've been doing that poll. Only 7% of people here in this country understand what a Christian worldview says and how it informs their morality and their ethics. And that what that 7% means, that means there's a lot of Christians, people who go to church week in and week out, who really don't know how the Word of God should inform how they live their lives. So it's absolutely vital that we're inculcating these biblical principles and teaching the next generation.
Marcus, you know, the Bible is critical to, you know, I mean, it's essential to a biblical worldview. I mean, you've got to see things through the lenses of Scripture. And today, you know, young people are being inundated with this message that either the Bible is not relevant to today, or it's a nice book of history and it's got some good wisdom and knowledge in it, but you know, we don't want to live by that book. How are we at the Family Research Council, under your leadership in the internship program, how are we equipping that next generation to operate from a biblical worldview in some challenging environments?
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I think the number one way we are doing that, we have two main ways. Number one, every day we begin our day with the Word of God and the devotional. And for us, we take them through the Sermon on the Mount because we believe that when we talk about the kingdom of God and how you interact with the world, the Sermon on the Mount is vital for anyone, especially in a city like Washington, D.C. If you really want to make a change, you have to understand the kingdom of God and how Jesus has laid out his kingdom. And we think the Sermon on the Mount is the foremost teaching in that. And then the second thing that we do on a weekly basis, we train our interns to think about the issues of biblical sexuality, of human dignity, and religious liberty. We debate these issues on a weekly basis. So for us, we give the interns readings, readings that will confirm what they believe, but also readings that will challenge what they believe. And we put all this stuff together and we debate these issues on a weekly basis. And the one thing that I'm so proud of is that when we all leave that room on a weekly basis, every single one of them can answer the questions that will be thrown at them from the culture.
Well, and you do a great job with the interns. I get an opportunity to spend a little time with them at the end of each semester and just kind of get feedback from them. And they, all of them just are so excited and encouraged by what they've seen. And I want to go back to something you said about the Bible study, beginning with the daily Bible study, because some of the interns, you know, they're dispersed throughout the organization working in different departments, and there's from time to time we'll have some that work in communications in the executive office. And so they'll be in our morning meeting as our senior staff and others that are participating in that morning meeting. And it was interesting, some of the feedback I got, that they found that we begin our day the same way that the interns do. As a staff, we begin with a devotion and prayer. And that's encouraging them, because we're not like, okay, you do this, but we're going to do something else. They see, they get a chance to walk alongside in the internship program, you know, professionals that are devoting their lives to this work in the public policy arena, in the political arena, and they see the consistency and the devotion of those walks. It changes the way they look at this world.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, you could, when interns come here, a lot of them have never had a professional work experience. And for them to come to a place like FRC and see that we're not just Christian by name, but we're actually living out our faith on a daily basis and starting with a morning devotion or praying together, and not just praying together, but really being concerned for one another, it really changes their mindset on what they want their workplace to look right. like in the future. So it's really impactful for them.
Yeah, and I think it sets a it sets the bar, frankly, kind of high.
Yeah.
Because it is you know, look, you got 90 people that work here at the Family Research Council, but we have men and women who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're here because they see this as a calling and a mission. And this is a great place to work. I mean, I've been in a lot of different environments, but it's been a privilege for me over the last almost 17 years to be in an environment where, you know, the language is God-honoring, the work is God-honoring, and as you say, there is a concern and a compassion for the fellow teammate here. So it's a great place to work, and I think the good thing about it is the interns see how it can be. Unfortunately, they often find, because a lot of them move on to different places and they come back and actually come back to work here because the environment is so inviting. But David, I want to go to you. That just because it's a positive environment on the inside doesn't mean we can't address what's happening on the outside. And we can do so, you know, from a biblical perspective. And one of the projects you've been working on is the kind of the Biblical Worldview series. But there's a confidence and a peace that comes about when you're operating from that biblical worldview.
Yeah, there is. And that's been one of the biggest joys as far, you know, it's the end of the year. And you think about, you know, the way the Lord blessed you this past year. And one of the biggest joys of my 2019 was working on this biblical worldview series here for FRC. And it really was kind of inspired and birthed from the realization that so few Christians have a biblical worldview, and if we're going to influence the culture, which is one of the things we really want to do here at FRC, we have to go back into the pews and help Christians think through these issues from the perspective of Scripture, which is God's truth. And knowing that that's God's truth, that does give us the peace that you're talking about.
Let me step back for just a moment, because 7% of Americans have a biblical worldview, and so there's a lot of folks listening to this program that probably do not operate from a biblical worldview. So we use these terms. You know, I've been focused on this for the last 25 years, but unpack that for just a moment. What does it mean to have a biblical worldview?
Yeah, that's a great question. So just the term worldview itself, the way I think about it, is just the lens through which you see the world. Almost like I wear contact lenses, so it's like that contact lens I put on my eyes, how I see the world through that lens. And every worldview has to answer four questions. One is, why is there something rather than nothing? Two, what's gone wrong? Three, is there any hope? And four, where is all this headed? And I think the Christian worldview answers those four questions in an intellectually satisfying, coherent way. Well, where did this all come from? The Bible answers that in Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning, God. What went wrong? Genesis 3, introduction of sin into the world. That third question, is there any hope? Absolutely. It's that God so loved the world that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that hope. And four, where is all this headed? What's going to be the consummation? It's that one day Jesus is coming back.
Right.
And so the biblical worldview answers kind of the four big questions that all of us are asking, even if we don't really – everyone has an answer to those questions,
right,
even if they can't articulate it.
Well, they're thinking about them. It's kind of – it's part of our operating system. And we're thinking through those. And I think that's a part of the distractions in the world today is some of that's intentional to keep us from having to think through those questions because many people don't have the answers. The Scripture provides those answers. And the practical application of that is when we look at the issues that we're talking about here from a public policy standpoint, the Scripture speaks to those. I was having a conversation a couple of weeks ago. Someone was saying, well, Jesus never said anything about what marriage should be or what human sexuality should be. I said, whoa. Matthew chapter 19, he says, have you not read from the beginning that God created them male and female, and for that reason the man shall leave his mother and father and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And it goes on to talk about divorce, that what God has put together, man should not put asunder. So God right there deals with a multitude of issues. He deals with human sexuality. There's only two genders, male and female. He deals with what marriage is. It's a union of one man and one woman for life, because he talks about divorce in there. And he said, well, God's put together, don't put it apart by man. And he goes on to talk about, well, they challenge him saying, well, you know, Moses allowed for divorce. He said, that was only because of the hardness of your hearts. It was not that way from the beginning. What that tells me is that if you want to go to the source of truth, you go to Scripture. It wasn't that way from the beginning. Man's tradition changed it, but we go back to the Word, we get the foundation, and that's what a biblical worldview is.
Yeah, very good. One other quick example, if I may. One of the things that inspired my biblical principles for worldview on the life issue was a comment that one of the candidates running for the Democrat nomination, he said, he was asked about the abortion question, and he said, well, the Bible says life begins with breath. And so he was trying to root his pro-abortion position in what the Bible said. So I wrote a whole pamphlet that you can get on our website at frc.org/worldview that says, well, here's what the Bible actually says, and that it does affirm the personhood of the unborn from cover to cover. And so, again, if people are quoting and saying Scripture says something that it doesn't, we need to come back and say, no, here's what the Bible teaches.
We've got to go back to the source. What does the Bible say? Marcus, before we run out of time, tell our listeners how people can find out more about the internship program here at FRC.
Absolutely. So if you want to know more about the internship, you can go on frc.org/internship. Once again, that's frc.org/internship. And you can also just email internships@frc.org if you have any questions about the internship program.
All right, so that information at frc.org, information about the internship program, as well as more information about the Worldview Series. David, Marcus, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Tony.
And folks, Happy New Year to you. Until next year, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to advance faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.